Welcome to Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil, the thought-provoking series on how to set, align, and implement priorities. Here's the host of our show, management consultant, speaker, educator, and president of Business Alignment Strategies, Pat Lynch.
Welcome. I am Pat Lynch. I have my guest today, Dr. Doug Robinson. Dr. Robinson is Vice President for Student Services at California State University, Long Beach. In that capacity, he manages a highly regarded comprehensive student affairs program at one of the largest and most diverse urban universities in the country. He has had significant experience in the development, implementation, and evaluation of programs, in the supervision and evaluation of personnel, in oversight of facilities, and in the development and control of budgets. He provides leadership to units, departments, and programs in the Division of Student Services that range from student support services to the Career Development Center to Housing and Residential Life to Student Health Center and Services and many, many more. Doug has been at Cal State Long Beach for 20 years, 18 of which have been in his current position of Vice President of Student Services. He previously held a variety of administrative positions at other educational institutions. Doug is a highly decorated Vietnam War veteran, having served in the U.S. Air Force Strategic Air Command. Prior to his military service, he compiled an extensive and impressive list of athletic honors during high school and college years and was drafted by the New Orleans Saints football team. I personally know Doug as a relentless advocate for students, and I cannot think of a person better prepared to successfully take on the challenges of that job. So welcome, Doug.
Good afternoon.
I appreciate your being here. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind people that the purpose of this interview is to get some insights into how you set priorities and ensure they're aligned with those of the university and make sure that they are implemented. So let's get started. First, I'd like to ask you if you could just tell us, please, in what types of situation you find yourself setting priorities.
And I think that's a good place, a good point of departure, because when you consider higher education and you consider an executive officer at an institution, there are two arenas that you operate in. One is a program management arena. Another is a political arena. So setting priorities has to touch in both areas. Primarily on an annual basis, priorities have to be established if indeed we are to accomplish a set of comprehensive goals. We always, within student affairs and student services, we link the goals that we establish to the institutional goals. And then budget flows from that. So and if, in fact, you do this in a vacuum, if you do not understand the political implications of what you're doing in a shared resource environment, then you're doomed to failure.
Right, right. And I would like to get specifically to the, you know, budget situation that not only Cal State Long Beach or higher education, but organizations across the country are grappling with now. What I'd like to ask you about first, though, is how do you manage? I mean, you have such a diversity of stakeholders. You know, you've got students and staff and faculty, administrators, parents, community, graduates. How do you set priorities among all those by different groups?
Well, I think you have to start with a set of core values, the underlying philosophy that's associated with processes that ultimately lead to change within the culture of an organization like a university. And the vehicle to do that is what I consider to be shared governance processes, that you throw the net out and you allow for input from a range of different constituent groups. It's not easy. It's time-consuming. But what I've found is that people actually learn as they attempt to provide input. They learn about how complex it is to make a decision. What may appear to be something simple can be very complex, especially when you're working in a unionized environment where you have to honor contracts with employee organizations. It's not very easy to implement change, especially when you're talking about an economic downturn that affects the resources that you have, both human and economic.
Mm-hmm. How have you, either you directly or you with others of the executives at the university, have you found, I'm not going to say easy because there is no easy way, as you said, but a way that people effectively can work together in an environment like this, given constraints such as bargaining agreements?
Well, you definitely have to take more time, and I think that many people do not like to spend time planning, but planning is the key to success. And I think the twin to planning is assessment. For example, if you spend your time wisely and you review your programs, you do assessments on a regular basis, then you know where the cuts can occur without doing maximum damage. So you go back to the data, you go back to the processes that deliver you. And oftentimes when times are good, people don't want to plan and they don't want to assess. But you must continually assess, you must review your programs, and I'll give you a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
When you implement programs over a long period of time, staff become very competent at doing the same things over and over again. However, there may be a mismatch between what staff would like to do and the unmet needs of students. So when you do an assessment and you focus your assessment on the students and you also a focused assessment on programs, and if you have outcomes as a part of that assessment process, then you have a rich database and you can clearly see those things that are no longer useful to the consumer versus those things that staff like to do because it's easy and they've done it over and over again. That helps you effectively implement a change model that, again, it's painful because now you're asking staff to adopt a new set of skills and regress those skills against the needs that students are projecting.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, just about every 4 or 5 years, you have a turnover in the student clientele at a university. So we have to begin the assessment process when the student arrives at the campus, and then we have to periodically continue to do the data mining with student populations as they matriculate through the academy. So it is not easy, and but the more people you involve and the more people who understand why these processes are important in good times, as well as bad times, the easier it is to effectuate those budget reduction decisions.
And that brings us to the question. So let's say you have these processes in place, you have established these relationships across campus, then as you say, every 4 to 5 years, the student population changes. So how do you continuously educate the student body about priorities?
And that's a great question, because when I talk about this ongoing planning process and I talk about this program review and assessment process, what we're talking about is the ability to create a culture of evidence, but that doesn't really mean very much unless you communicate that effectively. And you have to effectively communicate this information, and you have to use various means to do that. I think one of the things that we employ a newsletter. We employ focus groups. We use a range of communication processes to let people know what we're finding. For example, if we go in and we are running a program review on the Career Development Center, we would bring the staff in and we would give them an orientation so that they would understand exactly what it is that we're looking for. And that way they won't be threatened. They will fully participate.
Mm-hmm.
After the process is over, we would then bring the data back to them and we would allow them to have engage in discourse around what has been found. And finally, what we would do is we would develop a document that we would send to that director, we would send it to the staff members, and we would give them a year to not only take a look at what it is that we found, but to respond and to tell us why it is that, that they do not agree with the findings.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that I would always accept their objections, but at least they have an opportunity to comment. As it relates to students, we are always maintaining websites here at the university. If you plug into the university, you will find out that the Division of Student Services actually maintains the assessment website so that faculty, students, anyone who wants to do research can plug in and just have access to a wealth of information about this campus community and student needs and actually unmet needs.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, my experience and my observation is that at Cal State Long Beach there are a number of really excellent student leadership programs. And I'm wondering if you could speak for a moment about how students get input into setting the priorities on the university. Because I think, I mean, I remember back in the days when I was that age, I knew everything.
Yes.
And I, you know, since I knew everything, then you should take my word for it.
Should ask you.
Exactly. So how do you handle that?
And it's done differently here at Long Beach because, again, I mentioned this concept of shared governance. Well, there's a role for students in that process, too. We involve students at every major governance body, from our Academic Senate to the 49er Shops Board, which is the board that oversees campus food services and vending and the bookstore. We involve them in the president's cabinet. So we have student input on every major decision that we make. And again, you're right. When we view the students as a consumer, and oftentimes running a large complex institution like Long Beach, individuals think it's a waste of time. But it's better to receive that input that will prevent us from making a mistake, making the wrong turn, and it's easier for us to accommodate that. And because it's a part of our culture, most of our faculty leaders, most of our administrative staff, they feel comfortable having those real difficult decisions with students in the room. We have a resource planning process, which is our budget process, and there's a student who's a member of that board. That we also have faculty in there. We have administrators. So we've learned to work together, and we've learned to value the input that comes from all areas of the campus, especially from the consumer, and that is the student.
Right. Is there something that you would suggest to people who are in organizations who do not have a history like the one at Long Beach and you don't have the existing relationships and processes set up so they can identify
yes.
priorities?
I think that the very first step is to conceptualize a change model, something that that particular individual, be it a CEO, be it a vice president, something that they develop and feel comfortable with. And I believe that the variables that we've talked about, planning, program review, effective communication, and implementing change, are all a part of that model. So I think that that people have to start by conceptualizing a model that they feel comfortable with. I think then to implement the model and to stick with it, it's tedious work, but you must have individuals that buy into it. Now, one of the things that that I did initially when I took over this position, there was no culture within this division that pointed toward planning. And there was almost a culture where information was hoarded at the upper echelon, and middle management didn't know what the budget extremes were, and certainly rank and file staff members didn't know. One of the first things that I did, and we were going through retrenchment when I stepped into this job, one of the first things that I did was to establish a budget committee within the division. And what I did is I took managers who had a lot of resources, and put them on that committee, and I took those managers who didn't have very many resources. It was an imbalance that I saw, and I tasked them with the responsibility of providing advice to me. Well, at the end of that process, you know what happened?
What happened?
They made a recommendation to me. They said, you need to disband this budget committee, and you need to make the decisions. And the value in that whole process was they got to see how complex this whole process was and that how difficult the decision-making would be. So then I went back and I developed the change model that I've been kind of discussing. And we had people, instead of being on a budget committee, they then were placed on a planning committee. And we had to develop our own planning scenarios. And it was a year-round process so that we could effectively identify emerging issues. I wanted to be able to determine what issues were would pop up 3 and 4 months down the line. I didn't want to manage in a crisis mode. I wanted folks to understand that it was okay for us to pick up on the rumor mill, on the gossip mill. It was okay for us to have our monthly managers meetings when we would invite individuals from outside the division to come in and talk to us about what it is that they were doing. And the other thing that I did is that although I wanted a permanent titular head of the planning committee, and I did identify a middle manager and gave them that responsibility, I then rotated individuals off that committee. So I have five managers on that planning committee, and they do two-year terms, and then they rotate off, and those terms are staggered.
Okay.
So we always have a fresh set of eyes coming on. Now, interestingly, I allow that group to plan our monthly managers' meetings agendas. I allow them to plan our annual managers' retreat. I allow them to plan our annual division staff meeting. So they really have a lot of authority to